this poor tongue to say exactly what you would have me to say, God, so that we can accomplish glory for you and that your spirit would be made evident in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to stick by the notes so the ladies have plenty of time for prayer meeting and to discuss. And the men have plenty of time to discuss too. So, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're going to look at the next couple weeks the product of transformation and the process of transformation and then the product of transformation. The process of transformation is, looking at this verse, can somebody that's really smart tell me what is the process of transformation? By the renewing of your mind. That's the process. And what's the product? That ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now we looked at the character of the path that conforms. We're not to be conformed by this world. We saw the controller of the path that conforms and what we could conclude about the path that conforms last week. Now let's look at Romans 12:2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, the process is what we're going to be looking at. And then in a couple weeks, we'll look at the product. There's a very important verse found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And what we find here is, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So, the process of being transformed. We that have been Christians for any length of time understand that the English word transformed in Romans chapter 12 and verse and then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 and the English word changed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 come, I messed that up. It's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Okay? And the English word changed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 come from the same Greek word metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis. The idea of a transformation refers to an individual process in Christians would take place or begins to take place during their life in this age. Now, what do we always think of when we think of metamorphosis? What insect do we think of? Yeah, the butterfly. The butterfly, right? It is this worm that eats a whole bunch of food. And then I think that's how it goes. And then they put themselves into a chrysalis. And however long of a time it takes, I'm not a scientist, they break through and are a beautiful butterfly, right? They have an inward change that results in an outward manifestation of God's beauty within them. So we see also from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that this metamorphosis comes from the renewing, to renew qualitatively, or a quality of renewing. Therefore, renewing or a renovation which makes a person different than in the past. All right? And where does this happen? Of the mind. It happens inside the mind as a seat of emotions and affection, mode of thinking and feeling, disposition, moral inclinations. It's equivalent to, in that day, not the heart, not what is beating, not the beating part of the heart, but our feelings, our emotions, who we are on the inside that people can't see all the time. So let's look at the biblical example of this reality. The Bible verses are all there for you, but if you would like to, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We see Paul's credentials for ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're seeing Paul's credentials in ministry. And what do we see in verses 1 through 5? Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we at some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godwards. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We see Paul brilliantly describe the credentials of the reality of God's work in and through him concerning the empowering of his call. He had no need for someone to write a letter of recommendation or commendation. No, he had a letter from Christ, and that letter was the reality of the calling through the changed lives in the Corinthian believers. The gospel was ministered by Paul to the Corinthians. It was not written with ink, but rather the Spirit of the living God applied it not to some tables of stone, but rather to the softened, prepared heart of these believers. God, through the Spirit, implemented his life to the very life of the softened inner man. What a miraculous thing when a person, through repentance and faith, comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've seen that little Sunday school song, "There's been a great change since I've been born again." Right? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The people I used to hang around and be like, I got a new set of friends now. Why? Because God has changed me. It's not some regulation. It's not some rules written on stone. But God has put his righteousness in my heart. And God has, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allowed me to be changed into an image bearer of his Son. And his Son now lives within me. And that should transform my life. Amen. We should be different. We should look different. We should act different. We are called out. We are separated. We are a peculiar people. We are kingly priests that have the authority of the Spirit of God living in us. And that means we should be a changed people. A transformed people for his glory and his honor. For me to really preach, I can't stick to the notes. I'm sorry. But I have to preach what God lays on my heart. And what God is laying on my heart right now is that we need to take serious that we are changed. We're different. We look different. We love different. We live different. Are you in accommodation to your, how should I put it, spiritual shepherds in your life? Could I write and say this? There's no need to accommodate that God has called me into the ministry. There's no need that I write myself letters of commendation because I have people in front of me that have proved that God is working through my calling in the preaching that God has given to me in the place that God has me within the church, and lives are being changed. My younger people are living a transformed life. My middle-aged people are living a transformed life. My older people are filled with joy and looking and in anticipation of one day being face to face with their Lord Jesus Christ And they're not griping and they're not complaining, but they're filled with joy because they know the person that they've believed in. That what would describe you, Christian? Verse 5 is a key passage for the Christian when it comes to understanding this point. Paul's confidence, of course, is not in his ability, but his confidence was through Christ and God's work of redemption. In verse 5 it says this, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Isn't that powerful? You think that you can make a change? God is the one that makes the change. And it's our yielding of our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is our priestly ministry. The key to transformation is the adequacy of the source. Is your flesh adequate to transformation? If you trust in your flesh and your desires and your willpower, will you be transformed? I don't think so. It's not adequate enough. I can have all the desire I want to go outside and pick up a 2,000-pound rock. But what am I not? I am not adequate to do that. You can have all the best intentions and desires in your life to be a living sacrifice unto God. You can have all the best intentions and desires to do a work for God. You can have all the best intentions and desire and willpower to go out and serve God. But until God does a transforming process, and until you yield to that transforming process, you're not adequate. See, we can conform ourselves to the patterns of this world. We don't need no help in that. Did you have to teach your kids how to tell a lie, parents? Did you have to be taught when you first got married couples how to get in a fight with your spouse? It just came naturally, right? Well, I'm sorry. Maybe it came naturally when we first got married to have lots of differences that we had to work through. Correct? Does it have to be taught for us to put ourself first over others? That kind of comes naturally, doesn't it? That's kind of what the world teaches us to do, right? We can contort and confine ourselves to the modelings provided by the world because our flesh feels comfortable in self-righteousness or fleshly satisfying restraints. Self-righteousness brings bondage, and living in your flesh and what it loves to do brings bondage also. Right? How many as Christians want to live in bondage? See, the modelings of this world when presented to the flesh gets the response of compatibility. The devil starts with soft curves. Maybe a curve of 5, then 10, then 20, then 40, then 90 degrees. Okay, so you see this mold? It's not sharp edges at the beginning. It's nice, soft compromises. Nice, soft curves that your flesh can be comfortable with. And then once it gets used to the 5-degree turn of the mold, don't think like molten steel being poured into a mold. Think about bending wood. You never start with bending wood with a big curve, do you? You start small. Then you wet that wood and you get it used to its mold. And then if you want to do a little bit more, you wet it again and you push it a little bit more. And then you push it a little bit more. And it's unbelievable how much wood can bend if you do it right, isn't it? But it's a long process. It's short compromises that come to that. The curves of 5, then 10, then 20, then 40, then 90 degrees. Well, those 90 degree turns, they're pretty evident, aren't they? If I go out and get drunk tonight, you would say, that's a pretty evident turn that Pastor James gave into the flesh. Which, not that my flesh desires drink, it doesn't desire drink. But there's other things that my flesh desires, right? If I there's a path that conforms me to being in bondage to that desire. This is what we need to understand. We were being confident in the flesh, in the 5-degree compromise, as well as in the 90-degree compromise. Just because people don't know those little compromises doesn't mean that we're not being conformed to the molds of this world. Just because I can make everything look good on the outside doesn't mean that everything's good. We can see that really well when these are moral compromises being made. When we give in to the looseness of our desires, we wear our fleshly desires. What do you mean, Pastor James? Okay, I'll do something. We wear our fleshly desires. Does everybody understand that? So you can tell when Pastor James has given in to the cookies. I can tell when you are giving in to worldliness. Oh, you don't go out there and you don't look like the world and you're not going to dress like the world as bad as the world does, but you start to make those little compromises. Those are evident. What's not so evident is those self-righteous compromises of self-dependence instead of Christ-dependence. Oh, we think those compromises are spiritual. But we can have carnal religious people that aren't being transformed, and the world wants to conform us into religiosity, and the devil wins just as much when we're conformed into religious, what I just said before, just lost my thought. He wins just as much to self-righteous religious religiosity as to flesh-filled living. He wins. We don't want Satan to win. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We want to be transformed Christians, not conformed Christians. God gives a warning in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What does this mean? This means that God wants to lead us and give us freedom from anything that we need to that we have to depend on in the flesh. He does not want us to be conformed to slavery. Let me say, what does that look like in the flesh? Well, drug addiction, food addiction, drunkenness, sexual addiction, pornography. Everybody get it? What does that look like in the spiritual realm, in the religious realm? What does Dr. So-and-so think? What does Sister Such-and-Such think? Oh, if I don't do this, I can't be a really good Christian. Oh, if I don't depend on my works, then I'm not going to be accepted. And oh, how many of you have ever been under that type of bondage? Hello? I've been under that type of bondage. It's bondage. What are they going to think of my preaching? What are people going to say? That's bondage, my friend. God doesn't want us serving Him in bondage. Our standards and way of living aren't to be bondage to the Christian. They were never meant to be bondage. They were meant for us. They were meant as an outside result of an inside transformative reality. See, in transformation, your flesh doesn't say okay. You have to offer your body a living sacrifice to God. And God, through His grace, does this work of changing as you yield and submit. God, in His grace, breaks the bondage of flesh dependence. If you're conforming yourself to a pattern, you're trusting in your what? Flesh. Transformation can't be conformed. It's transformed by the power of God. How can you put God into a mold? Now look, God in His holiness is true to His holy nature. Amen? But God, through His holy nature, He's not confined. He can work through anyone and anybody to fulfill His will, and He gets all the praise and all the glory. See, when we're being conformed, our flesh craves that praise and glory. When we're being conformed, our flesh wants that satisfaction. When we're being conformed, we want to fit into a pattern. And as long as we fit into that pattern, we feel comfortable. All the transformed life and dependence on God will put you into some situations that you're not going to feel comfortable. Amen? Sometimes it's going to call you to walk up to people that you don't know and say, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I still, to this day, get nervous. I still sometimes mess up when I'm talking to people on Saturday or when God reveals to me, hey, talk to this person." It's not a fun process, but God does something when you're transformed by His power. He takes over. And your body becomes a conduit of His love and His grace. So let me finish off by explaining the statement. The statement of 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Last night I heard a great sermon from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. There's a camp meeting that is held by New Hope in Tillsonburg. And I forgot the pastor's name. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with that. I think his name is Pastor Thompson. I could be wrong. But I went to the meeting last night, and I encourage you, there'll be a meeting tonight, you're here, but Thursday night there'll be another meeting, and if you can make it, go. I'm going to go during the day to a couple meetings during the day. But if you want more information about where that is, come and meet me. It's about half an hour from where we are towards Toronto, okay? But it would be well worth it if you can make it to go to that meeting. And again, if you want to know where it is, come and see me afterwards, and I'll drop you a address of where it is. But he was saying this. The point of the message was about the thought of potential energy becoming kinetic energy. Potential energy is a boulder at the edge of the hill. Kinetic energy is the boulder racing down the hill. We as pastors love to talk about there's a ton of potential. Oh, I can see the potential. Potential means nothing until it becomes kinetic. Potential energy doesn't accomplish anything until God, it is given over to God, and God brings the energy. The power of God, through faith, the substance of our hope, and the evidence of this unseen, also the self-sacrificial divine love of God soaring through us, is what enables the Christian in the new covenant to go from great potential to authoritative power. This is a transformed life. This is a mind that has been transformed by the power of God. Now, we'll do a compare and contrast of 2 Corinthians 3:7, but in the ministration of death written and engraved in stone, and 2 Corinthians 3:8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit? We're going to do a compare and contrast of that next week. For this week, to end the service, I would like to study a few results of the renewing of the mind. First, faith. First, our mind can be renewed by the power of God through faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the grounding and confidence of our hope. It is the persuasion of the unseen. The conforming nature of this world is to mold you according to what you can see and feel. However, the character of what you can see and feel is passing away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is what? It's passing away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth. Do you want to give your bodies over a living sacrifice and see things accomplished by God that abide forever, Christian? Do you want that? Is that our desire? A transformed life by the power of God through a renewed mind? By the grace of God? 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 put it this way: for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are what? They're eternal. So, when you're going through a hard time, what does the world conform you and the lust of your flesh to do? Church, what does it do? Praise the Lord, God has a purpose. That's what your flesh does, right? That's how your flesh reacts. Your flesh reacts by molding you into complaining, right? Your flesh reacts when you're going through a hard time through overeating for some of us. Your flesh molds you into temptation of just eating a quart of ice cream. You say, I couldn't eat a quart of ice cream. All things are possible. So when you look at this and you think this way, you think in the way of how do I feed my flesh? When you look at faith, you look at how does God feed my soul? You see the difference? Faith is based in and on Christ. It is based on the work of Christ, on the promise of Christ, on the eternal and not on the temporal. Its focus is not on things that are passing away, but rather on the eternal. 2 Corinthians 3:13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Dependence on the flesh for holiness was abolished in Christ. Let me say it again. Dependence on tradition, dependence on working in your own power, dependence on what pointed and what pictured Christ was abolished in Christ. I don't have to depend on rituals. I don't have to depend on man-made religion. I have a personal relationship with Christ through faith that does transformative things through Him in me. Are we all following this? Or is this going, phew? I hope we're all following this because this is a powerful point. We aren't just meant to reflect God's holiness through our biblical standards, but we are meant to radiate the work of God through a sacrificial body. Please let me explain again. Listen to this. This is important that we catch. We aren't just meant to reflect God's holiness through our biblical standards. Hey, dressing right is a reflection of holiness. Amen? Not going to places that clubs and bars and not going to what the world does, that's a reflection of holiness. Right? We should reflect God's holiness, but we shouldn't stop there. We should radiate the holiness of God. What's the difference? Reflection is just something beating down on us. Radiance is something going in and through us. Christ lives in us, and He wants to radiate His holiness through us. I don't just want to reflect. Why? Because that dims. Reflection dims. Moses' face dimmed. Right? And he didn't want the people of Israel to see that reflection dimming. But listen, Christ has softened our inward man and has taken residence in our inward man through salvation. So now Christ doesn't just reflect through our standards, doesn't just reflect through our service, He radiates through our life. Because it's His life, not ours. Hope is talked about, and it is our experience and a promise that is good. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Why could Paul face dark times in his life, and through it have a transformed mind? Because his hope was anchored in Christ, not himself. Finally, charity. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Man, we are in this awesome position of transformation because of what we are in Christ. And not only this, but we glory, or we're built in our trials. Also knowing that our trials or tribulation, it works confidence. And confidence shows the power of what we have in Christ. And the power of what we have in Christ builds a confidence of hope in us. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when the Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God within our hearts, do you think we can contain that as Christians? Do you think that God's love, when it's shed abroad by the power of the Holy Ghost, is just residing in me? Or do you think it bursts forth from us to others? What do you think, Christian? First or second option? Does it just stay with you when God does the work, or does it burst forth towards others? If you want option two, raise your hand. Yes. Let me ask again so I can have every hand raised. If you want option two, raise your hand. There we go. Yeah? This is important. So, I'm done and then we can be split up. You got about 10 minutes to go through it. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for all that You've done. We pray that You would use this for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.